so happy that you're here joining us today. My name's Alex, if you don't know who I am. I'm the worship director here. As you may have noticed, our lead pastor Steve is not here with us today. I'm just so excited to get to bring the word today. So Steve, if you did not know, if you've been living under a rock or you've been away for a little while or you're visiting today, Steve and a team of five are currently in Riga, Latvia, serving kids through Josiah Venture. So I got to chat with Pastor Steve a little bit this week. They got there safely with no issues on their way there, which 17 hours of travel, you know, you can always expect some hiccups. They missed the IT outage in Detroit that grounded a lot of planes. So we're just grateful that they got there. He asked for prayer as a church family, if we could lift them up. Their camp starts this coming week as they begin ministering to students and sharing the gospel. So we're just so glad that they're there and encouraged, and we'll have more updates for you guys as we get them. But I'm really excited to get to share the word today. And I just want to start off this morning by asking, it's been really nice outside the last couple days. Are there any runners in the house this morning? Anybody really enjoy just a good long run? Like, you want to get out there. I see a couple hands up. How many of you got, you know what, there's no shame. How many of you are like, the running is the last thing I ever want to do in my life? Yeah, loud and proud. Yeah, okay. So I'm going to be really honest with you. I'm talking about some athletic metaphors today. I don't like running at all. You that raised your hands, you're my kind of people. I like to say, I wish I was a runner. Some people have even said, Alex, but you've got like the runner's body, man. I'm like, I may have the runner's body, but I don't have the runner's lungs or the runner's feet. In fact, when my wife and I first met, I quickly found out that she was an avid runner. Like, that's her therapy. She's still, to this day, if you're driving around Victor, you might see her. She loves to run. Like, that's one of her favorite things to do. And so, of course, I'm like, I got to get to know this girl. I want to spend every minute, every ounce I can with her. And so, she likes running. Guess what I all of a sudden really love to do? I love running. Yeah, absolutely. Let's go for a run. So, she was really excited. So, I went to Walmart and got some running shoes. And I met her at our local trail for a trail run. We're going to go for a mile, you guys, which I'm like, anybody can run a mile. Like, that's not that hard. So without any training or anything at all, I strap on my new shoes, meet her out there, and we start on our jog. And I'm pretty sure it was like 100 yards into this run, you guys. This is so pathetic. Like, I started, you know that feeling that feels like you're about to cough up blood? That's what I started feeling. And I started falling behind her, and she stops and looks back, and she literally is like, are you okay? Like, am I going to have to call 911? And I'm like, I'm fine. She goes, you're not a runner, are you? <I'm> like, no. I had to be honest. But here's the thing. I still wanted to spend time with my beautiful, not then wife, but wanted to get to know her. And so I committed. I said, you know, I want to get good at this thing. I want to at least keep up with you. And so she helped make this plan that over the next year we were going to build up some endurance, because that's what I lacked. I didn't have any endurance to run anywhere. And so that's what we did. We made a plan, and we actually, in a year's time, I was able to run my first half marathon, which is awesome, super cool. And then actually, within that year span of time, I ran a second one. So I asked my wife if I could tell people that I've ran a whole marathon, since technically in a year, I've ran two half marathons. I've been told that I can't say that. So I am a two-timer half marathon, and then we got married, and I gave up running altogether. So there we go. It worked, you guys. No, I'm just kidding. So, okay, you might be wondering why this has to do with today's message, as maybe you've gathered. The Apostle Paul is somebody that we talk about a lot in church. If you've been in the church circle or spent any time here, you've probably heard his name mentioned. He has a really unique story and journey with God. Paul wrote most of what we have as our New Testament to the churches as the movement of Jesus began. But Paul started not as a follower of Jesus. In fact, Paul started as a religious zealot who thought he was doing the will of God by persecuting Christians, by hunting them down and dragging them back to Jerusalem to be prosecuted or killed. And it was during one of these journeys that Paul was having that he has an encounter with the living God. And Paul goes from a Christian killer to a follower of Jesus and begins launching this amazing movement of the gospel. And so he's the man that we're talking about today. And Paul, not unlike Jesus, he wrote in a lot of his letters to the churches in some incredible metaphors that connected people to the truth. They connected people to a story or an idea that they would have understood to the truth of the gospel. So kind of like our day and age, athletics were kind of propped up as this really, really high value thing. Like the Olympics, the whole idea of that, we're kind of watching those this summer. They started in that area of the world. And so people hearing these metaphors that Paul gave, they would have made those connections. And so Paul makes a lot of comparisons to our life of faith as a race. As a race that every single one of us participates in if we follow Jesus. And just like a race that we would run in this life, the race of faith requires endurance. Maybe you, in your life, you've experienced some seasons where you needed endurance. Maybe it's been a season that's just been really challenging, or you're holding on to hope that a loved one will come to faith, or maybe you've gone through some loss or courage to share your faith. Paul understood that we need endurance in our faith just as much as we do in life. And so, just like a race that we have to run has kind of three basic principles that we need to follow, the race of faith is the same. So there's three basic focuses. This isn't all-encompassing, but kind of boiled down to three is the preparation, endurance, and then finishing well. And so we're going to dive into some of these today. The scripture will be on the screen, but we'll be in 1 Corinthians 9 as well as Philippians today. But Paul writes to this church in Corinth, and the Corinthians had some struggles with applying the gospel and the truth that they were trying to live out with their culture. There was a lot of writings that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church to try to admonish them and encourage them to let go of some of the things that they had been holding on to. So this is what Paul writes in chapter 9. He says this, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize." So we're going to unpack this, but like I learned the hard way, running well requires some level of preparation, right? It requires some level of intentionality and discipline to do this well. And so Paul says in verse 24, do you not know that all who run in a race all run, but only one receives a prize? So run that you might obtain it. So Paul here is offering a model of self-discipline and control for the sake of correcting the Corinthians' failure to allow their freedom to overtake the real meaning behind the gospel. You see, the Corinthian church, what they were doing was they discovered, hey, we have freedom in Christ. Like, we're set free, awesome, but they took that to mean they could do whatever they wanted to do with no consequence. They missed the whole point. They missed that having discipline and having some sort of self-control is actually part of the program, that we don't just get to use our freedom to do whatever we want, but it's freedom to share the gospel. And so the Corinthians struggle with this, especially how it meant they treated other people. And so what Paul is getting at here is that he's offering this model to follow, that if you follow it, if you have some self-discipline, that you're going to get the result you want. He wanted to help the Corinthians see that limiting their freedoms for the sake of others' salvation wasn't optional. And he was himself setting the example. So my first point is preparing for the race requires discipline. Requires us hearing the word of God and applying it to our lives, but it also requires purpose. So that is, why do you want to race in the first place? So we're going to go back a section before kind of the why behind Paul sharing this in the first place. So just go up a few verses in verse 19. This is what Paul says. Though I'm free and belong to no one, again, he's talking about the freedom that he has in Christ, I've made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. So what is Paul getting at here? This might, to you, might be a little bit confusing. And I know I've read this before. I'm like, geez, Paul, it seems like you're just like on a little Ferris wheel. I'd be like, this person did win, this person. What he's saying is, I don't see myself above anybody. I am not holding up my life as I'm trying to be better than somebody else, or I'm free so I can just do whatever I want. He's going, the whole purpose of having discipline in this life of faith and in the race is so that way we can win others to Christ. The athletic metaphor that Paul's using is not the rugged individual runner on a long marathon just hoping to cross the finish line. He's talking about this life of faith means that it's about others. The motivating force for Paul is the unswerving call of God, which is always a call to reach other people. So once the race has begun, so once we've prepared for the race, once we set out to follow Jesus, as we begin preparing, you don't want to carry any extra weight to weigh you down, especially if it's something that's not actually helping you. I can remember on some of those hot summer runs, like, my hair was longer and I just wanted to shave my head, right? Like, I don't want anything weighing me down. I just want to run without anything hindering me. And so we're going to read in Philippians 3. I'm going to read up through verse 7 and then we'll pick up together. He says this, if someone else thinks that they have a reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. He goes on. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is from the faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for God, which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So I know this was a long section, but what is Paul getting at here? Why is he sharing this long list of things that he's done or what he was known for, and why is he saying it's all trash now? I think one of the things that he's holding up is something that I think we can struggle with in our lives, that there's lots of things that this world holds up as success, right? Things that we would say, yeah, that's valuable, or that's what you want to attain for. And even us as believers can fall into this trap that, man, we're really hard worker, really busy, really successful. I've got a lot of things that I've accomplished, and look at what I've done. And not that that in and of itself is a bad thing, but so many times we can take those things as our value and forget that there's something greater that defines who we are. Paul's saying that none of those accomplishments that used to define his life, and he was a pretty successful guy, none of those things define who he is in Christ. In fact, compared to knowing Christ, Paul would say, all of those things are worthless to me. They're garbage. They don't serve me anymore. I have a higher calling and a greater purpose because of what Jesus has done in my life. Those things don't matter anymore. And furthermore, if we're going to run this race of faith with endurance and perseverance, we have to lay down our view of what success looks like in our identity and allow Christ to define that. If we don't, here's what's going to happen. We'll constantly fall victim to comparing ourselves to other people or looking backwards and either seeing our past accomplishments and grow complacent, go, well, man, I've already done a lot of good stuff. I can just kind of coast. Or we can look back on past failures and be crippled by the weight of those things that we just can't move past and beyond. None of those things leads us on the path that Jesus has for us. To run with endurance, we must lay down our burdens. This isn't an exhaustive list, but some of those things can include the obvious, sin, things that control our life, addictions, but anything else that defines us other than Jesus. Our past, our fear, shame, even relationships that we hold up on pedestals that maybe we shouldn't hold them up so much other than God. The reality is we can't do this on our own. This in and of itself is not something we can do in our own strength, but with God's help, when we give him all that weighs us down, our focus needs to be only on the race and the work that needs to be done. So running the race, it requires us to leave behind the starting line. It means looking at anything that could be holding you back, even the good stuff, and setting it down. It means focusing on the course in front of you and no other path. It means trusting that the one who is propelling you forward will continue to do so. And that's what our God has promised to do. He's promised to work in the life of the believer to finish out the good work that he has put in you. So even when we've done all the preparation, you got the right shoes on, you've done the work, the race still brings the unknown. It still brings the unexpected. And what this builds in the life of a believer and in Paul is humility. It's the realization that we are following Jesus, who, by the way, in his life, knew pain and sorrow. And yet, as we follow Jesus, it's an intimate acquaintance with both joy and pain. Sometimes that includes suffering, but it's a suffering with one who's also triumphed. So lastly, as we've prepared, we've built endurance. The ultimate goal of the life of a believer is to finish well. That we run this race of faith with purpose, allowing God to work through us, and that we finish well. In a moment, I'm going to read out of 2 Timothy 4, if you want to turn there, verse 6 and 9. I just want to paint a picture for us as we read, because this letter to Timothy was written by Paul in a jail cell, his second imprisonment in Rome, as Paul had spent his life proclaiming the gospel, helping churches get started, and encouraging believers. And Paul knows that this is his last ride. He knows that he's not getting out of this one. And so he writes to his son in the faith, Timothy, these words. And imagine for a moment sitting in that jail cell with Paul, knowing all the things that he's done, the faithfulness that he's given to the work of God, and he knows that this is probably one of the last letters that he'll ever write. He shares this. For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Man, I don't know about you, but that's what I want to be able to say. At the end of my life, I want to be able to say that I have run the race. I fought the good fight of faith. There's so much more purpose that Paul is talking about here than just coasting through life and just hoping that you get to retirement. There's a greater adventure to be had for the believer. That Paul is looking forward to the words that Jesus says in the scriptures, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Those are the words that Jesus longs to say to every single believer. So how do we do this? Like how do we fast forward in our life and be able to say these words like Paul with confidence? I've run the race. I fought the good fight of faith. I'm ready to be with the Lord. How do we do this? I think Hebrews 12 kind of has the answer. And this section of scripture is not attributed to Paul. In fact, we don't know who the author was of Hebrews. Some scholars believe it was Paul because of how it was written. We know that the author most likely at least knew who Paul was or most of his friends. But Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, meaning other believers who have gone before us in the faith, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on who? On Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such oppression from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So for all the physical preparation that is involved in running a race, for me at least, the mental preparation was kind of the most important, if not more than the most important thing. You could train your body, but if you mentally are checked out and are done, it's hard to put in the miles. That mental preparation primarily involves the runner getting out of their own head. There's a guy named Scott Jurek. He's an ultra marathon runner, which is somebody who runs 50 or more miles in a run, which like absolutely blows my mind, considering I can barely get through one. But he says this, the reason we race isn't so much to beat each other, but to be with each other. Other runners, they try to disassociate from the pain or fatigue by blasting music through their headphones or imagining themselves running through the Olympic Stadium, about to get to the podium. But he has a simpler method. He said it's easy to get outside of yourself when you're thinking about somebody else. I think that's beautiful. Because we see in Hebrews, that's exactly what Jesus did. When Jesus was preparing to go to the cross, what Hebrews says is that he focused on the joy set before him, that he endured the cross. And what was that joy? I believe in part that joy that Jesus had set before him was the knowledge that you and me would have the opportunity to come to know him. That you were worth the pain and the suffering that he endured, because he knew on the other side the penalty for sin and death was paid for by his sacrifice on the cross. Again, the first step in any race is the preparation. In running the race of faith, we need to prepare our bodies, our minds, and spirits for the work ahead. We need to prepare for the known and the unknown, and we can only do this by turning to the one who supplies our every need, supplies the people that we're called to, and supplies our fellow runners. All we have to do is take the first step. And the beauty of this is that every single one of us here today or listening has a next step. Maybe yours this morning is you've never considered this race of faith. And if you're being honest with yourself, your life sort of feels like one aimless step from one place to the next. Maybe today your step is to consider the one who took the first step for you. Consider Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you just feel like you've completely failed. You've gotten off course or you've just given up. Here's what's amazing about this race is that because of what Jesus did, there's no hoops for you to jump through. You simply get back in the race. There's grace there. And there are people who love you who want to come and run alongside of you. Or maybe you've been running this race for a while. Who can you encourage along the way as you run this race of faith? I'm going to close with this and invite the worship team to come on up as well. As you run this race of faith, there's three questions that I want us to consider today as we close. What areas of my life do I need to build endurance? Maybe it's time in God's word. Maybe it's connecting with other believers. Maybe it's just being more intentional in your time with him. And what weights have you been carrying that you need to give to Jesus? What sin, what addictions, what things are you defining yourself by that don't need to define you? And lastly, is my focus on the finish line or something else? Is your focus on how do I reach to the end of my life to be able to say I've run the race? Or is it focused on some other thing? I'd invite us this morning to let our focus go back to that finish line. We can't do any of these things apart from Christ, and that's the beauty, is it's not all up to us. We just simply have to follow the one who has already made the way. I just think, how amazing would this be if all of us did this? I think maybe some of us might take up running. I don't know. Maybe I should reconsider. But as we run this life of faith, if we saw that every step, every choice, every decision that we made in our life not just had impact here, but also impacted eternity. We're going to close this morning with a song called Bless God. And as we sing the words that no matter what season I'm in, whether it's difficulty or plenty, wherever we're walking in this life of faith, we have a reason to praise our God. We have a reason to be grateful and to bless him who has gone before us. We don't run this long. So I encourage you, as we sing this song, maybe pick one of these three things that we talked about today and talk to God about what you want to do. Ask him to help you along the way because he wants to. You guys pray with me. God, I thank you that you are who you say you are. Jesus, that we have a forerunner that we can follow. So many times in life, it just feels like we don't know what direction to go in. I know it feels like that way with our culture. There's just so many confusing signals and directions our world seems to go in. But Jesus, you made the way simple. You say the same thing to us as you said to your followers. Just a simple phrase, follow me. So Lord, we just say yes to you this morning. We thank you that you give us everything we need to run this race. It's in your name we pray.